Golf ball is high. It is far. It is gone to win the game.
The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
All right, the final month of the regular season is here, guys. Nosebleeds Podcast in September for September Baseball. Max Langer, Luis Andrade, Ethan Wax with you today. Going to talk about a whole bunch of things. Yankees, Mets, of course. Mets trying to make the playoffs but will be unsuccessful. Yankees trying to win the division. They trail the Rays currently in the American League East. But one final postseason push. Still a lot of races to be decided. The NL wildcard, the AL wildcard, a lot up in the air for the final 3.5-4 weeks of the regular season. But we'll get to it all, and good to see both of you guys.
It's great to see you, Max. It's been a while. You know, I was studying abroad in London, and I love the cadence you have today. It's crazy to see your growth, man.
Oh, man, I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great to see you. It's good to meet you, Ethan. You know,
yes.
I feel like I missed out so much, but I'm so happy to be here with you guys, talk Yankees, Mets, and more.
Well, tell us, like, a little bit about London,
because
we're curious.
Wow.
Yeah. Before we get into it.
If you guys get the opportunity to study abroad, I definitely would. It's not only an experience that teaches you, like, how to be on your own and kind of, like, you know, live your own life, and not being, like, the shelter of, like, you know, home and, like, being in a university, but also, like, you get to see so many new countries besides London. Not only was London fantastic, but you get to see, like, Amsterdam, Prague, Paris, all these wonderful places, also in the UK. Yeah, I mean cities. Thank you, Trey, for being my ear. But, yeah, it was amazing. In London, I feel like it's kind of like the European version of New York City. And the fact that there's so much to do, so much culture, and also so many wonderful sports teams. If you guys are into footy, I definitely would go watch that as well. You know, I went to a Chelsea match in Stamford Bridge. Beautiful stadium.
Yes, I actually went to, I think it was a Tottenham game.
Oh, yeah, I went to one too. They're kind of, they're a bit of a disappointing
at Wembley
team.
Stadium.
At Wembley. Oh, yeah, I went to Wembley as well. I was for, like, a women's international game. It was England versus Spain, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was so many years ago, and I couldn't believe the amount of security there.
Oh, yeah, they take it serious, especially, like, you know, they're, like, next-level fans there.
There were, like, security guards on, like, every row. It's like,
was that for an FA Cup match? Do you remember?
I think they were actually playing Chelsea that.
Yeah.
So it was just
at Wembley. That's very nice. That's that's the stadium in the UK.
Featured in Ted Lasso, right?
It did, yeah. It did.
So I know it. No, I got a chance to visit London last summer, and it was really cool. I went on the London Eye, because it's like the thing you have to do in London, but I'm a little bit afraid of heights. So, of course, all the kids who were in there with me thought it'd be a good idea to jump up and down and shake the card. I was just like, guys, can we not right now? And they were just like, no, we're doing this. And I was like, all right.
Yeah.
But, you know, I made it safely to the bottom. Thankfully. All right, let's get to the major leagues, the MLB stuff. Let's start with the Yankees, 79-60. They are leading the American League wildcard race. It feels like they are on a collision course with the Boston Red Sox. Had some antics over the weekend, if you guys care to get into it. And then, of course, still trying to win the division. They're 4.5 back of Tampa Bay, 5 back in the AILC, the all-important loss column. But they've got some ground to gain. The Rays had a ridiculous series this weekend against San Diego, some games that they won. But the Yankees, it feels like they're headed for the postseason. Aaron Judge is on his way back. Should be back in, what, a week and a half or so?
Yeah.
And their starting rotation is good. Get to the playoffs, they got a good a shot as anybody, but they got to get there, and seems like they are well on their way to doing that.
Definitely. I do want to get into that. What happened. Was it Sunday with the Boston Red Sox commentator? That was
Will Fleming, yeah.
Yeah, that was so, like, you don't hear that often. You don't hear, like, someone crashing out, like, on the air. Especially, like, he said some really wild stuff. I think it was towards Austin Wells that he hoped that he got hit by a pitch to send a message.
Jazz Chisholm is a Bush League player.
Oh, like, yeah, I saw
it. You guys are just getting, what was it? Like, at the time, it was 7-1, and then Austin Wells hit the home run to make it 9-1, and the final score was 16-1. Like, you guys can't complain about us playing the game the way it is. You know, anybody can come back at any time. We've seen crazier comebacks. And not only was his what he said was like horrible. I can't like wrap my head around how a professional can get to that kind of point. I know things get heated. You know, it's the one of the biggest rivalries in baseball, and you guys are getting swept, especially when it comes to like this time of the season where you need to be winning games like this to win your division or even get up high there for a wild card spot. It's just unacceptable behavior, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I think 100%. I think, you know, my take on it is that, first of all, it's not a national broadcast, right? He's doing a radio call on WEI, which is a Red Sox radio network, right? 99% of the people who are listening to that are going to be Red Sox fans. I think the 7-1 thing, like 7-1 is not a crazy score.
It's
like
not.
Like teams come back from 7-1, you know, late in games, you know, 2, 3, 4 times a year. Like you can win that. So I don't have an issue with Chisholm taking second and third base. And I think there's Carlos Rodon or someone he said yesterday, I think that like, you know, you don't take anything for granted in baseball. You're trying to put food on the table. So I don't have an issue with that. I think some of the stuff with Will Fleming is kind of blown out of proportion. I don't know if you guys are on Twitter and you saw he wrote out an apology to people. And, you know, there are New York athletes everywhere, Cam Schlittler, Josh Hart, who are saying, you know, he should go.
I think that's a bit of a stretch. You know, everyone has their moments. This one's a little kind of on the worst side, especially with his position that he was in. But I do have to take into consideration, like you said, that it is mostly a Red Sox fan base he was talking to. But also, one thing I kind of condone is that I heard there was a lot of people giving him a lot of hate, especially from, like, the New York fans. And I don't feel like that's appropriate, you know. Like, you know, two wrongs don't make a right in this scenario. You know, he said what he said. He could have apologized on his own behalf instead of, like, being kind of having his arm twisted into it
right
by crazy New York fans.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's a little bit blown out of proportion, the amount of sort of hate that, I mean, I think it just adds to the rivalry, honestly.
Yeah, it's been a little while. It's been this heated.
And the Red Sox, I mean, even just flashing to a different game, but just on Monday, you know, the Red Sox were down 8-5 and came all the way back. Yes, I know it's only a 3-run difference.
Yeah.
But
well, they're playing the Mariners, who have found ways to lose games this season like no one has before.
That was J-Rod who dove for that catch and
missed
horribly.
So it's, I don't know, these things happen. They're adults. They'll
get over it.
They'll handle their business. I don't think it was anything egregious. I think the Yankees were just playing the game hard, and you know every run is precious, so take advantage.
Yeah. And if you're a radio announcer for a Major League Baseball team, you're calling in the ballpark of 162 games a year, which are in the ballpark of 3 hours each. That's like 500 hours you're on the air. So the odds that you're going to say something that maybe later you're like, yeah, I shouldn't have said that, are pretty high. And I'm sure every single announcer would have a lot of moments that they would take back over the course of their careers. But we can get to the actual baseball stuff. Yankees, it seems we're getting healthier. Bellinger's back. Aaron Judge is coming back. There was the news a week ago with Giancarlo Stanton. Maybe he has played his final game as a Yankee.
So sad.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's a really good player. Obviously, he always feels like the guy that's there for them in the postseason, especially with, you know, Aaron Judge having struggles all these years. A lot of the Yankees players that they play are guys that are specialists, whereas Trent Grisham is a guy who kills righties, and Cody Bellinger is a guy who, you know, when he won the MVP in 2019, did both, but now he's more of a righty killer. But, you know, you'd look at 24, even 25, and the past Yankee postseason runs, it always felt like Giancarlo Stanton had a big hand in whatever they were doing. And now it's, you know, very unfortunate for them that he is most likely not going to be here for the rest of the year.
And he definitely, I feel like he lost his roster spot, especially in the sense that we have, even if he could physically play in the outfield, like, it would not be a great fit. And the DH spot is now taken by either Spencer or probably going to be Judge when he comes back from his injury. They're not going to, like,
yeah, they'll ease him back, right.
Yeah.
The question I have is, if you put Aaron Judge at DH, how are you going to get Ben Rice at bats?
Would you have to move him back to first or, like, keep him at first?
What they could do is play Luis Garcia at second, and then play Rice at first.
Where would Jazz go then? Do you think third or move him to?
He's kind of a Bush League player. We don't really need him in the lineup anyway. I mean, he hasn't had a great year.
Offensively, like, I wouldn't miss him, but, you know, he does bring sort of a defensive presence at
a
second.
A spark, right. Yeah. And I mean, like, I've always been of the opinion for baseball that you should get your best hitters in the lineup, and if the defense takes a hit, like, you can kind of live with it, you know?
Yeah,
I would say, like, Jazz should be a part-time player for the rest of the year.
One thing that I'm not sure if you heard this, Max, but there's talks that the Yankees aren't going to re-sign him.
Yeah,
which Jazz Chisholm. I'm kind of nervous. I really liked him, even though like he kind of did underperform, and he even admitted it. And an interview, like I feel like it was a couple of months ago, he said, "Yeah, I've been playing not good, like the best way I could say it here."
Right.
But he's reached 30, 40 stolen bases for the season. But he offensively with the bat, he's been underperforming for an all-star level player that he should be.
Well, like, come postseason, I mean, you want Judge, Rice, and Garcia to all
definitely.
The
Garcia, I love him so much. Like, ever since he came to the Yankees, I actually went to their game against the Astros Tuesday last week. It was, even though the Astros won 9-7, it was one of the best games I've seen in person. It was back-to-back offensive slugs, and Garcia was leading the helm. He had a home run. He had two singles.
Oh, that game, yeah.
It was a great game for the Yankees.
4-4 or something.
Yeah, 4-4. And it kind of shows, like, his potential offensively. Like, in the postseason, he's going to be a gem and someone that can lead our team here.
No, he's a good player, and he didn't get enough love when he was in Washington because, you know, a lot of the attention was on C.J. Abrams and James Wood and a lot of the remnants of the 2022 Juan Soto trade, but I think the Yankees got a bargain with him. I just think Helyt Ramos is a really good player too. He
hit his first home run the other day.
Right. I mean, he hasn't been playing well, obviously, but you know, he's the only right-handed hitter I think in Major League history to hit a ball into McCovey Cove in San Francisco when he played there. And he's a guy like you could find in the postseason and be like, wow, this guy had 4 home runs in an ALCS, and that's why we got to the World Series. Like he is that talented, just hasn't put it together yet. Obviously, with a new team.
Hopefully the Yankees can develop him. We don't have the best track record with kind of... I mean, like, the only player really, like, kind of rehabilitated in the sense of their skill was Matt Carpenter back in 2022. But even then, he lasted
a year. I love 2022 Matt Carpenter.
That was so special, and that was the one year we didn't make the playoffs, too, which makes it so... Actually, no, we did make it, and then we got swept.
Swept by the Astros,
yes,
right.
It's so sad.
That's okay. We can bond over our Astros dislike.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. But the Yankees had a great game last night, 7-3 win against the Angels. Do you have any thoughts on that, guys? Especially even bouncing back from a 10-1 loss. I mean, you also got to take into consideration that they did have that.
I mean, you're playing the Angels. You should...
Yeah, we had a horrible loss.
We could talk about the Angels, because that was the biggest news in sports yesterday, that... The Angels, Artie Moreno sold the Angels to Stan Kroenke, who owns the Rams, the Nuggets, the Avalanche, you know, a bunch of football teams in England that I'm not familiar with because I don't watch soccer. But, I mean, he has a huge sports portfolio, and this is, you know, huge for the Angels. It's also cool for me because I actually consider myself a friend of the guy who broke the story that the Angels were sold. Yeah, he's a writer for the LA Times. So I was like, wow, this guy broke the story. That's awesome. But no, I mean, it's huge for them. Obviously, $4 billion is the biggest sale of a Major League franchise, which eclipsed what the Padres were sold for 2.5 months ago when Jose Feliciano and Kwanza Jones bought them. But I mean, right, obviously the Angels have been a middling franchise, to put it nicely, for years now. But I think that obviously Stan Kroenke's willing to invest. He's going to, you know, renovate the stadium. Maybe he'll change the name back to something other than the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, which is a strange name.
The Anaheim Angels?
Yeah. Bring back the Anaheim Angels, or anything other than what it's currently called. But no, I mean, it's big news, and they very well could do something here with that.
Yeah, definitely. It's also very exciting for Angels fans because, like, like you said, it's been – years of mediocrity. You know, Mike Trout was your only, and Shohei for a time was your only highlight, and that's all you looked forward to. It'd be maybe a postseason appearance every now and then, and it wouldn't go any farther than that.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a nice response from the Yankees, particularly the at-bats were a lot better. They've been struggling a lot, so with producing runs, so
yeah, stranding base runners has been a story as old as time.
Seven runs is big, and you have the best rotation, in my opinion, in baseball.
Luis Hill just really? Got called, he got called up. I mean,
it's not better than the Dodgers rotation.
I knew this was gonna happen.
Well, come playoff time, I think.
Come playoff time?
Come
yeah.
playoff time, you're I taking mean, the Yankees over the Dodgers?
Schlittler.
I'm taking Yamamoto over Schlittler any day of the week.
You're not wrong there. Okay, let's...
Tarek Skubal, uh-huh. Blake Snell, Tyler Glasnow, Tyler Shohei Glasnow, Ohtani.
Tyler Glasnow's not been that solid.
He just threw seven shutout innings against the Tigers like 2 days ago.
The Tigers are horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not great. But still... If Cam Schlittler threw seven shutout innings against the Angels, you guys would be like, Cam Schlittler, he's the Cy Young over Dylan Cease.
Well, he did
Which he is the Cy Young over Dylan Cease, but, you know.
He should be, but we'll see how that comes when – I hope he does. You know, he's been – he had the most one of the most iconic Yankee debuts, in the postseason debuts, like, in my lifetime.
Oh, against Boston
Against Boston,
year?
Game two. Oh, wait, is it game three?
Game
Sorry.
Three.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Game three. Wow. It was like one of those moments, like, I can't believe what I'm watching. Like, this is just history in the making kind of moment. And I don't think Yankees fans will ever forget that game three against Boston where he just, you know, all those Boston fans were talking a lot of smack on the internet, especially because he was a Boston guy. He grew up, raised,
right,
Boston sports fan, and he kind of switched sides.
Yeah, now all of his family is Yankees fans as well.
Yeah, hey. they hate us because they ain't us. but, yeah. I mean, Ethan, I feel like we kind of left your Mets hanging. Do you want to
yeah,
you want to lead the charge
the
there?
All right, well.
Sorry.
I don't know if there's really much to say about the Mets other than their
Do you
want to
talk about Luis? I mean, he's kind of using my namesake, but he got waived.
Yeah.
You were named after him.
Definitely. Luis Robert. Yeah. He's like, yes, Luis Robert Jr. Let's name my son that. Yeah.
I just want to talk about, first of all, getting rid of Pete Alonso and Edwin Diaz.
Yeah,
that's looking
worse.
Edwin Diaz looks like a joke.
Plus, he's involved in illegal chicken things that we don't need to talk about.
When I first saw that, I thought that was a joke. Like, I thought they were just trolling.
No, it's funny because like when it first came out, it was like right when the Dodgers signed him, and so all the Dodgers fans on my Twitter were like, "No, it's not true." And now that he has a 12 ERA, they're like, "Investigate this guy for this illegal thing so they can get him off the
investigate
team." Yeah, investigate him, which is funny.
I don't understand David Stern's philosophy about this defensive run saves.
Do you think this is his kind of he's on the hot seat now? After this
he should
disappointing
be.
Season.
I don't know why. I don't know what Steve Cohen is on to say that he's going to stick with him for the rest of his contract.
How long is his contract toward, too?
He's been there for 2.5 years. He signed a 5-year deal.
So 2.5 years left. Yeah, 2.5 years. I mean, this is the thing with David Stearns, though. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but like David Stearns was like in 2011 when the Astros got sold, they brought in like a whole bunch of guys to like renovate their baseball operations division. It's kind of like the modern day in 2011 Moneyball. They brought in a bunch of guys from Wall Street, a bunch of guys from like big business firms, a bunch of guys who had never been in baseball at all. And David Stearns was one of those guys. And when the Astros won, albeit by cheating, yeah, all these guys started to get jobs around baseball. So if you look at all these front offices, maybe not president of baseball operations or general managers, but guys who are really high up in the Nationals and the Mets and pick any team you want are all guys that have been cherry-picked from the Astros system because guys figured out that people who are really good at computer coding and the social network type stuff could help baseball teams win. And that's kind of what David Stearns did in Milwaukee with a little bit of money. And clearly, the Brewers are still doing it even without David Stearns. But now he's on the Mets. He's got the money. And, I mean, David Stearns is a guy who will not admit when he's made a mistake. Like, he's going to ride out the ship until it sinks.
Yeah.
Do you think this kind of new philosophy in baseball is being carried a little too hard? Like, it's been too – they're trying to push it too hard to the point where it's being a detriment, especially you can kind of see it how it's going for the Mets so far.
Like analytics?
Yeah, analytics. You know, like, you know – I forgot who said this, but they said like, "Oh, you gotta baseball is not an analytics sport. You just gotta like stick with your gut. You know, it's about heart." And, like, you know, there's a good – I feel like there's a balance in that because analytics, obviously, with Moneyball and, you know, trying to go for OPS has been working for a lot of teams. But at sometimes you can't always go with an analytical decision.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look at the World Series last year.
Mikhail
I don't know if you guys saw, like, Jeff Passan did an episode with Dave Roberts and John Schneider, and they went through it, and Dave Roberts was like, according to our analytics, Miguel Rojas against Jeff Hoffman was the least likely matchup in all of the World Series for the guy to get a hit. And he had a home run off him because Hoffman has an overpowering fastball-slider combo. So, like, I've always been, like, a C-ball, hit-ball kind of guy when it comes to baseball, as someone who never played Little League and just broadcasted the games instead. So, obviously, my say has very little substance here. But I don't know. I just think that, you know, obviously, like, AI and computers are advanced nowadays. Teams have, like, iPads in the dugouts that are banned telling them, you just threw a fastball. What pitch should I throw next? Slider. And then tell the guy to throw a slider. But at the end of the day, it's always been, like, a player's game. And what you do on the field is that.
Yeah, I think it's funny how you bring up the iPads because you always see them, like, in their dugouts. It looks like they're playing a game, like, mid – they're like fidgeting, you know, pa 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 pa, and I'm like, what are you guys doing on there?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I don't know how much stuff is legal.
Yeah, but it's kind of sad to see the Mets. They really had promising preseason with all these signings.
It's just like what frustrates me is let's think. This is basically what David Stearns, I think, thought. Well, this is more of the fan in me, but let's take Pete Alonso, Brandon Nimmo. I mean, Jeff McNeil was kind of sucked, but other than...
I mean, he's not playing well, right, with the A's. He's got like a 6-something OPS.
But
it's not great.
Let's take those two guys and Edwin Diaz, probably arguably our three best players outside of Soto and Lindor, I guess. But let's take them off the team, bring in Bo Bichette, who's on a ridiculous contract. And let's try and replace it with him and Jorge Polanco, and don't even get me started with his contract.
I don't know what happened to Jorge Polanco. He was like a great player with Seattle and Minnesota.
Yeah. He had a great postseason too with them.
Yeah, but that was – I don't understand that because anyone in their right mind would – like, how are you going to replace – I mean, Alonso has 30-plus home runs this year. It's not like he's fallen off.
Right.
And he's still in his prime, and he decided to get rid of him and obviously get nothing to
do. Do you think it's possible for a reunion would happen? Because I know Pete is on a pretty short-term contract.
Well, he's on for 5 years, but my only hope is Baltimore sucks next year.
And they trade
him. If there is a next year, which probably not. But
I mean,
they trade him to the Mets.
They did trade Adley. At the trade deadline, so you never know, like, what they're gonna have, like, a buy sell mentality during the off season or at the trade deadline next season.
Yeah, the Orioles are only a game and a half back of the wild card.
Well,
are they?
That's because everybody in the American League can't.
Oh,
win
yeah. Do you
their
guys
life.
Want to talk about the American League West and how
the American League? Where every team is at or under 500, basically.
Yes.
Is it still that way? Let me see.
I'm pretty sure it's still that way. It's been like that.
The Astros are a game over right now.
Oof.
Right. But the Mariners, the Rangers, and the Astros
battle of the mid
are still right there. It's crazy that one of these teams is going to get a home playoff series or home wild card series because that's just how the postseason works.
It's kind of wild how uncompetitive the AL has become.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like in sports, a lot of talent, like, flows to the West.
Yeah, it definitely does.
Kind of, like all these years where the Western Conference has been better than the Eastern Conference in the NBA.
Yeah.
Like, you think about, I've always associated the National League with, like, the Western side of the country.
Yeah,
the American League.
You're right, though,
Yeah, and then, I don't know, you look at the NFL, like, the Eagles and the Rams and the Seahawks are all these, like, you know, Western teams. 49ers have been great for however many years.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think the American League West, I don't think any of these teams have a shot to win a championship.
No, definitely not.
I think the only team that could even do any damage is the one that's 5 games out, which is Seattle, because they have the most talent. They just haven't put it together this year.
Also, Kyle Riley did kind of fall off of a cliff
I mean, yeah, he hasn't taken a step back. He's like, you know, moonwalked backwards. That's how many steps back he's taken.
Yeah. All I'm saying is Judge was the MVP that season. And I feel like this kind of shows it. I mean, not really because it's a different season, but.
Was that last year? Did he win MVP?
Or? Judge did, yeah.
Judge won, right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's everyone was very upset that Cal didn't win it, though.
Well, that's because they all have that.
Well, of course, if you know, Raleigh won, they would say, why didn't Judge win it?
Yeah. So there's always, like, you know, one side's going to be complaining.
Yeah. I mean, people just want new players to win MVP. That's why everybody wants Peter Armstrong to win MVP over Otani.
I do
want to
talk about
that. Which, as
a
Dodgers fan, Peter Armstrong's the MVP.
Yeah, my nephew, he is a massive Cubs fan, and he's just spamming me with like reels like every day. He's like, Pete Armstrong like hits a home run. He hits this walk off. I'm like, I know he's good. You relax. I'm watching the same stuff you are.
When people
something special.
Yeah, when people say like PCA winning the MVP, I always remember back to the to the Javi Baez. PCA.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, rough trade.
I'm sorry.
It's probably, like, at least in my lifetime, the worst trade I've ever seen.
How long do you stay with you guys, Javi?
Half a year. Just 21. I don't think the Mets made the postseason that year either.
They didn't.
Or if they did, they didn't do anything. Right, they made it in 22 and lost in the wild card round of San Diego. So, no. I mean, yeah.
It always goes back to the Mets somehow.
The Mets are just, I don't want to talk about them anymore. I don't know. They're just going to play out the rest of their season.
I'm
and
sorry,
I'll be honest, what they did this offseason where they rehauled their whole roster, they're going to do it again this year to the extent that they can. I mean, Bo Bichette's not going anywhere. Lindor and Soto are not going anywhere. But they're going to sign a bunch of big-name pitchers like Freddy Peralta. And albeit whatever happens with the CBA, you know, we could not have baseball for you. But assuming that that gets resolved, they're going to rehaul their whole roster and try to do it again.
I heard they're going to maybe trade Lindor in the winter.
Trade Lindor to, is there any targets or?
Not that I know of, just.
Yeah. Well, he's kind of like.
It's just so hard to trade guys with contracts like that.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I think a Pete Alonso trade will never happen, because it's just so hard to make the money work. Mm-hmm. Like, the last, like, huge trade we saw that I think was such a rarity was the Devers trade. From Boston to San Francisco, because they have so much cap room, and they've been trying to get stars to sign with them for years, and they had either gone to New York or Philadelphia or Los Angeles, so they were like, the only way we can get a superstar is by trade. And of course now, you know, Rafael Devers is arguably not the same player he was when he was in a Red Sox uniform.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that's what the Mets will try to do. They are now actually the Steve Cohen is now the second richest owner in Major League Baseball because Stan Kroenke just bought the Angels first. He has like 25 million. Steve Cohen has like 24 billion. So,
oof.
They're just gonna throw money at the problem and
that's
try
how
to
you fix
it.
Everything.
Yeah,
but when's the news? Not the stadium, but you know, like the kind of the facilities around it for like, I know NYCFC is having like they're like building that entire casino hotel kind of attraction around Citi Field. Do you know?
Yeah,
when that's
going
to be ready by?
Hopefully before I graduate.
That'd be cool. Yeah, because you're from L.A., you're not even going to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a couple years.
Yeah.
Still on.
I mean, you have that to look forward to.
Yeah.
That's going to be pretty cool. Like, I mean, one thing I give the Mets over the Yankees, you know, to give you guys kind of like this one thing, is that you guys know how to host a baseball game. Like, there's always an atmosphere at Mets games.
Yeah.
The food's amazing. The vibe's always up. It doesn't feel corporate. Like, one thing I'll say. Yankee games are pretty corporate sometimes.
Yeah.
It's kind of boring.
I've been to both stadiums. Much, much bigger fan of Citi Field than I am Yankee Stadium. But no, casino sounds cool. Maybe Bobby can get us like credentialed for that.
Yeah,
so we don't have to spend any money. We can just like throw our credential down on roulette wheel or whatever, you know? Yeah.
It's like, oh, wait, this is for, we're actually doing an investigative docuseries on, you know, the new opening of the state. Yeah, that's what we're doing. Totally.
Yeah. All right, before we wrap, do you guys want to do like, predictions of who's going to get into the postseason based on where the wild cards are at right now?
Yeah.
Let's start with the National League. Brewers are leading the Central. They're in, obviously. Dodgers are leading the West. Braves are leading the East. And then right now, there is a race for the last wild card. San Diego, Arizona, and then you've got Miami and St. Louis and Pittsburgh somewhat lurking in the background. But it kind of feels like it's going to be the Padres or the Diamondbacks who get the last spot.
I agree, the Padres. I feel like the Padres, especially... I feel like there's like a lot of we barely talked about this, but Ketel Marte, his right. issues on and off the field has been kind of like circus going on. And, you know, he's going through his stuff, which is really unfortunate. It's hard to see, especially the way he's dealing with it. But I feel like that's going to be that's taking the entire organization's mind off baseball and trying to get into the wild card spot. So for that reason, I'm picking the Padres.
Yeah, I like the Padres. I just think they're much more talented compared to the other teams.
Yeah.
And I don't think that I think the Diamondbacks will fall off eventually. But
yeah, I mean, I agree with you guys. I don't think the Diamondbacks have enough pitching. Like, Brandon Fott is their ace, where if you look at the Padres, you look at how good their bullpen is with Miller and Morihone at the back end. Yeah. I honestly think Adrian Morihone is the second best relief pitcher in all of baseball. Mm-hmm. I think the Padres have number one and number two. And that's been A.J. Preller, the Padres president of baseball operations. It's been his motto for years, is that teams with great bullpens are teams that win in the postseason.
Definitely.
And obviously it hasn't worked out for them outside of an NLCS appearance in 2022 where they lost to Philadelphia. But, I mean, he's going to keep trying to build these super pens. And, you know, they bolstered the starting rotation with Robbie Ray and Casey Mize at the deadline. Their offense hasn't been great. Their best hitter this year has been Ty France. From an offensive perspective, Tatis and Machado have had their share of struggles. But I do think the Padres are more talented and a better team than the Diamondbacks. And so they would, you know, theoretically get in. The Phillies are actually only three games back of the Braves for the top spot in the American League East. So if they get that, that would switch up the postseason a little bit. Dodgers and Braves fighting for the bye and who becomes the wild card. But I think right now you've got seven teams vying for six spots in the National League postseason picture, with San Diego and Arizona being the two that would either get in or get out on that dotted line.
Yeah, that's definitely a great point, especially with the super pens. Like, you've seen all these teams, especially your Dodgers. I mean, even though it technically wasn't a pen player, Yamamoto came in the end and as a pen player in that sense to win you guys that game, and right. shows you like how much those closing pitchers come in clutch.
That's how much they rely on them. Like, Game 7 was almost entirely starting pitchers who came out of the bullpen in relief because, you know, get rid of all the bullets you got. It's the final game of the season. All right, American League. Yankees are 4.5 back at Tampa Bay. You guys think they're going to catch them?
I feel like – let me look at the Yankees schedule because I feel like it's been on the better side. We're going to finish the season with the Angels, Padres, Rockies, Mets, Twins, Diamondbacks, Rays, or – I feel like we could.
Yeah, it's a light schedule.
It's pretty light. The only real competition we have is the Rays.
Right, and that's when you gain games on them.
Yeah.
I think it'll be tight. I mean, I don't see. They would basically need to sweep the Rays, and I don't see that happening. I could see a split happening, but I don't see. I think the Rays are too good. And
the Rays they've been nasty.
They're good. Yeah. I think, like, for years, like, the knock on the Rays was, like, they have a bunch of, like, good above-average players and above-average pitching, and they just put it together. But, like, now, like, Junior Caminero is a superstar. They have a superstar in there. Like, he's a top-10 player in the game, I would argue, in terms of what he provides at the plate. So, I mean, I think they've got a shot, obviously. Teams like Tampa Bay and Milwaukee, they can't go for it because they don't have the financial resources that the Dodgers, the Mets, or the Yankees do, so they have to hold on to their prospects, and that, you know, burns them come playoff time because they may not have, you know, the ability to win these games just because they didn't go out and trade for Tarek Skubal or whoever it may be. But, you know, you get into the playoffs so much, it's kind of like just throwing shots at the dartboard. Dodgers took 10 years before they went to the World Series. So Tampa Bay, they just keep getting there. How about the White Sox? They've been a crazy story this year. 8 games over .500. They're in position for a bye right now in the American League. Who would have thought that coming into the season?
Coming off like one of the worst stretches of baseball you've seen before, like that little run they had in 2020 and 2021 where they made a wild card series. But you don't see this kind of comeback that fast and out of nowhere with Murakami leading the way. And he's been amazing. He's been a superstar, and I feel like no one was expecting him to go to the White Sox either. That came out of literally right field. Like, no one expected it, and it's been working so well for them. And it's exciting to see a team like this have so much success, which when they've been needing it for such a long time as well.
Yeah, I mean, signing guys from the KBO or the NPB is always kind of like a shot in the dark. Like, you don't know if they're going to be out of the league in 3 years or they're going to be Murakami. I mean, he was a guy who, not the last WBC, but the one in 2023, he was like the guy, and everyone's like, this is the next Ohtani. And then he didn't play well for 2 years, but comes over here and has been a catalyst for this White Sox team. The Astros right now leading the, as we talked, abysmal AL West, and then the Yankees and the Red Sox. The season ended right now. They'd be playing a wild card series in the Bronx. Does feel like that could very well happen. I do like to see it, though. I feel like
in the last
6 years, the Yankees-Red Sox rivalry has kind of fallen off a little bit. So I think it's good to get the bad blood stirring because rivalries are great for the game.
I definitely feel like, especially with last season's wildcard series, I feel like that kind of sparked something. And then, like, you know, the rivalry is kind of on the comeback.
Mm.
And I hope it is because, you know, like, that's such a big part of both teams' history and also means so much to us as fans.
Yeah, and then last spot, playoffs, Guardians, Rangers, like five teams fighting for it, Twins, the Jays, the Orioles. These teams have been 500 all year, but that's what the American League has been. And we'll see who gets in the postseason. I really only believe that there's two teams who have a shot of going to the World Series, and that's the Yankees and the Rays. And I mean, the White Sox are too young. The Astros are, they don't have enough pitching outside of Hunter Brown.
Yeah.
The Red Sox, maybe.
Like the Red Sox have been kind of a hot streak. Not merchants, but, you know, they've been benefiting a lot from their hot streaks, especially towards the latter half of the season, where, you know, they had that horrible, abysmal start, and they fired Carlos Correa. But
Carlos Correa?
Oh, Carlos Correa, sorry.
Alex Cora.
I wish they fired Carlos Correa. I don't like the guy. But Alex Cora, yeah.
Alex Cora, sorry. Alex Cora. Yeah, very similar names. I always mix them up, too. But, yeah, Alex Cora. Yeah, that's been really – I feel like it's been going good for them ever since that happened, which I thought it was going to be, like, a horrible choice on their part. But worked out for them. Hopefully we meet them in the wild card series. I'd love to see that.
Yeah. So we'll see what plays out. Anything else to add before we call it an episode, guys?
Other than – I'm going to make kind of a bold take, but I guess in this league it's not. I see the Orioles making the playoffs.
Pete Alonso leading it.
They've got the talent. I mean, they could get there.
Yeah, Jackson Holliday.
Yeah, you know, they've got the offense that could win them a playoff series too.
Yeah. Definitely. Like, I mean, especially when you see like the Central Division. Like, it's literally AL East, and then maybe like the two top seeds in the other two divisions. Like, it's not. There's not much to see here when it comes to playoff or postseason potential.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's call in an episode, guys. Our producer, Trey Rodriguez, has a class he's got to get to. And, you know, we thank him for his time behind the board and putting it in. Thank to you guys as well, Ethan Wax, Luis Andrade, and Max Langer, saying so long from the Nosebleeds podcast, last month of the regular season before the postseason.